Our Old Testament reading today is the fourth chapter of Esther, which can be found on page 446 of your pew Bible. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went through the city, wailing with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, wherever the king's command and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and most of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message from Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the day has come. During last year's Youth Sunday, I marveled at all the senior speeches before suddenly coming to the stark realization that I would be the next one behind the pulpit. That day, I told myself, I'm going to start writing now, and I'm going to give the best sermon yet. Well, that day and the 360 days following, I did not follow through on my promise. I told myself I would not put it off, but I did anyways. Much to my mother's dismay. The things we regret most in life are times when we know the right course of action, yet we cannot commit to it. For me, one hitting hard right now is procrastination. But perhaps you have experienced a more personal regret. Looking back on a time when you were too scared to accomplish an important task, or never letting someone know just how much they meant to you. On the flip side, the things we remember the fondest are times when we also act against reason. Times when we know our odds are slim, yet we pursue the impossible. I hesitate to bring up the Patriots' Super Bowl comeback in overtime, as a Falcons fan myself. But on the larger scale, while we can still appreciate underdog stories in sports and film, let's venture into the real world for a moment. People who will go out on a limb and found nonprofits to help those in need, or warriors of social justice who put their lives on the line for equality. This is the underdog risk that earned Esther a book in the Bible. Let me remind you just how bad her odds were. Not only was Esther a woman in a largely patriarchal society, but she was also a Jew in a nation where all Jews were ordered to be annihilated. Even Esther, our eventual hero, was wary of stepping in and speaking with the king. She said, "It's not my time. There's no way this is going to work out. Someone else could do a much better job. And Mordecai told her, "You're right. Your chances are pretty bad. It's not looking pretty. And you're right. Maybe somebody else would have a better shot at survival, but you are who we've got right now. You have been called for such a time as this. You've been put here for a reason, and you need to pursue that purpose for your people." Her chances looked slim, but maybe that's because we didn't calculate in the God factor. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Esther felt like she might lose, but through the power of our awesome God, she did it anyways, and she put her head on the chopping block, and she saved her people. This theme of justice and injustice is no stranger to our world today. In fact, our faith recently adopted a confession that deals heavily with themes of injustice called the Belhar Confession. One of the last pieces of this confession states that the church must therefore stand by people in any form of suffering and need, which implies, among other things, that the church must witness against and strive against any form of injustice, so that justice may roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Furthermore, the church as the possession of God must stand where the Lord stands, namely against injustice and with the wronged. Friends, helping those in need and advocating for justice are not simply the right things to do. They are our obligation as followers of Christ. We are gathered here today for such a time as this. There are 1,000 ways you can make a difference in this world, but you can only succeed in that wish if you act. Do not hold back because you think you are alone or don't have a shot. This one goes out to all the youth who are sitting behind me. Never think for a second that the odds are against you. Can I get a show of hands in the congregation for people who work with youth or kids? Now, if we expand this to being a parent, because we know that's a job in itself, and if we can see everyone who has ever been a kid and been in our shoes, that's everyone out there, yeah? Now, you see, we youth are here today to lead the worship service, but what's more impressive is that you've filled the pews with people who are willing to listen. And even though at times it may seem that people are bearing down at us from every angle and our circumstances are not conducive to change and progress, remember that this church family has been called together to support each other, that every member shall be lifted up. But we must not only serve our members, or just people who are Presbyterian, or just those who are like-minded. Rather, we must serve all people, striving to lift up every person we meet, because even though people come from different walks of life and hold different beliefs, the ultimate truth is that we are all one in the body of Christ. Our success is closer than it appears, because as long as we are striving for peace and justice, God will be on our side. Let us learn from Esther how to put ourselves out there in hopes that we too can save those who are suffering and unite the human family in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.